now, the internet's favorite podcast, Podcasters, with your hosts, Brad and Kate.
Opa! Welcome to episode 9 of Podcasterated. My name is Brad. I'm joining you here on the podcast from Nashville, Tennessee. And I'm joined today, Pac, recently returned from far-off lands. Known as, Europe in general. He will discuss those details to you. Is Caleb. How are you today, Caleb?
That's how you ask for the appetizer in the restaurant.
Oh yeah. I'm curious, but I hope they give you pita bread.
They do. Well, no, they give you like wonderful country bread covered in sesame seeds. Mm. But it was an amazing trip. It was like a 15-day trip, which now that looking back on it, like we hit the 8-10 day mark and we just got tired of living out of a suitcase. I don't know if you've ever been on a trip that long, but we tried to do carry-on only. And so it's like, I'm going to do 4 pairs of underwear and 4 pairs of socks, and every fourth day I'm going to wash them in the sink of the hotel and then find a place to dry them. And it doesn't work great, but it's a great way to not have to worry about the baggage claim or anything like that.
Yeah, no, it's, I'm sure it's significantly cheaper to not check a bag when you're flying overseas.
Yes. Oh, yeah, it definitely is. So. Yeah.
I have not stayed out of a suitcase that long. I think the longest I ever stayed out of a suitcase was about 5 days at the most.
Okay. I did this last time, carry-on only too, but that time I had a broken arm, so it made it a little bit more difficult. When we went to Europe in 2009, that was right after I fell off my bike. I don't know if you remember that.
I remember you. I thought you fell off your bike in like 2003.
I did that too. Okay. You are correct. That I was running late. I was on campus. I was going to a piano lesson. I hit the railroad tracks and did an endo at the bottom of campus and broke my collarbone.
Yes.
And then in 2009, I fell off going over a little bit of a hill and I hit my arm on the curb and broke my arm.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. You broke your arm really bad at that time.
My arm needed emergency surgery on my arm.
And that's right. I remember that now.
Yeah, and like my mom came for a week, and that was a week before we were going to go to Europe for 2 weeks. And it's like, shit, we got to figure it all out. But
yeah, amazing timing. Yeah, I remember the 2003 one, because then after you broke your collarbone, like your shoulder twitches when you pee now. What?
You get the piss shiver?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've always had that. I don't know if that's related.
Oh, you told me one time we were, in the can or whatever, and your like shoulder was twitching up and down. And you're like, oh, this happens ever since I broke my collarbone. I don't know why.
I don't remember that. I don't know. Well, then I'll believe it. We went to this beer. This is the last thing on my list I want to talk about because it's in chronological order of the trip. But we went to this beer fest, and this is a beer fest. It goes on for 2 weeks. It has a million people that go to it. And so it is like wall-to-wall mosh pit level of people wearing lederhosen and dirndls. And they're all drunk. And so the way it works so if you're in like New York City and you have to use the bathroom, what do?
You just go.
You just piss on Statue of Liberty?
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, like is there if I'm in Chicago and I need to use the bathroom, I just like go into a restaurant or something like that.
You
go to TJ's, yeah. Well, what you got to do in Europe is there are public bathrooms, but you have to pay money to get into them. And there's usually like a woman sitting in the bathroom, and her job is to make sure it's clean and doesn't smell like piss. And she hands you a paper towel, and you have to give her like half a euro to use the bathroom. And so there are these little buildings all over the place. And I went into one, and it was just like, like the guy urinal that's just a trough.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
my nightmare.
Yeah. Anyway. I know it's, maybe you should explain your pathology here with regards to bathrooms.
You mean in the public?
Yeah. Yeah. Secrets.
I know one time when I went to a sounds game and I knew I was going to have to use the public restroom, I brought headphones with me so I could block out the sound.
Is it the sound of other people that makes it? So I have this issue a little bit too. It's the issue of there's other people around, it's just not coming out.
Yeah, I just can't let go because I'm in a social situation where I'm not supposed to piss right now.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
There's a term, there's an actual name for that. I forgot what it is.
But yeah, it's an issue a lot of people have, and I can like kind of just push it out if I have to. This is a wonderful podcast talk for everybody. This is why we're explicit tagged. So I was in this like little 10 by 20 foot cement brick building with this trough going around three walls of it. And there were so many drunk Germans who had to use it that they were standing like three deep behind me waiting for me to get out of the way. And so can
nightmare.
You, yeah, it's that I was thinking that would be your nightmare, right? It's hard for me to pee there.
Absolutely. I would be in pain. That happened to me when we were downtown in Nashville one night and I couldn't go like when we first moved here.
Yeah.
And like I had to go so bad. And I couldn't go in the situation that that the bathroom at this particular bar we were in. And I was in pain. It hurt so bad. Wow. I had to find a different bar with a dead bathroom in it to go into. Wow. It's just, I can't do it.
Did you get too many nut shots when you were a kid in urinal in bathrooms or something? And then, what do you think the... Let's discuss this penis issue that you have.
Oh, my God.
Can we discuss Brad's penis on this show?
No, it's nice. Let's just say it's just when there's other people around,
it just shuts
down.
Like, yep.
I'm not supposed to pee right now. So, like, I'm supposed to be secluded in the bathroom when I'm doing that. And when there's other people around, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And I've become comfortable enough that I can talk about it because I know that I'm so very not alone with this.
Oh, you're not at all alone. I have this issue to some degree, too.
But yeah. That happened. See, Wrigley Field has the troughs.
And I believe Tiger Stadium used to have the troughs and the old Miller Park or whatever, the Milwaukee one used to have them. And you're right.
And that was bad then. But it was thankfully when I was there, there wasn't a whole lot of people there that day. So it wasn't that big of an issue. But
was that the day that it was a doubleheader?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
I was just talking about this yesterday. And, doubleheader, 38 degrees, early April.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible. But anyway, we were talking about...
So the German thing is just basically imagine a mosh pit with a trough around it. And they're all drunk and everyone's just pushing. And it's like... I won't make you relive the experience. But I thought of you when I was in there.
Good. Good.
Yeah. So anyways, we did a long trip. We went to my wife's kind of ancestry is kind of Greek. And so we went to Greece for 10 days. We went to a couple of the islands. And then we went to Athens and like saw the Parthenon and the Acropolis and all that. And basically looked at the tourist stuff there.
Yeah.
Well, Then we went up to, we flew to Munich, and we were in Munich for a day, and then we flew up, we took a train up to Erlangen, which is in near Nuremberg, and that's the town my wife studied abroad in, and that's where they have this gigantic beer fest, and so.
Did she get her yarn?
Yes, we did in fact go to the yarn store. We went to Pfaffenhofen, which is a town in between Munich and München and Nuremberg, and they had... this wonderful, beautiful yarn, and she bought like a huge pile of it. And I'm doing the customs form when we're flying back into the country. She's like, "How much yarn did you buy?" It was like three figures of yarn. It's expensive yarn. It's not that she bought like a garbage bag full of it.
Good.
Yeah.
I imagine that too.
Yeah.
Pack lightly because you know you're flying back with a garbage bag full of yarn.
Well, yeah, we bought a bunch of beer and wine over there, stuff that you can't find here, and we did buy a suitcase over there and just used that as a checked bag coming back. She's like, "Well, I could pack yarn around the wine, and that would kind of protect it." So, but yeah.
But what if a wine breaks and you ruins the yarn?
It's the yarn, yeah. I've flown back with a lot of beer and wine. I've never had anything break. You just have to wrap it in a shirt and make sure no glass is touching any other glass. And yeah. I don't know, I've been always lucky with my baggage. So
yeah, I always had to every time I flew.
Yeah.
I haven't flew nearly as many times as you have, but the times that I have or people that I know, like close to me that I know how that I've traveled, usually everyone's baggage arrives where it's supposed to typically.
Yeah.
But you hear the stories, obviously, the horror stories of people whose baggage just goes absolutely missing and it's very important that they have it.
Oh, absolutely. My toothpaste is in there. What am I going to do without it? Yeah.
Use your finger. You're fine. Yeah,
like, Like in that movie, What About Bob? Yeah, he guy's brushing his teeth with his finger because Bill Murray stole his toothbrush.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, anyway, so there are many cultural differences between Greece and Germany and the United States, and I wrote a bunch of them down. Nice. That are kind of interesting. So,
but before you continue, I want to ask one question. I heard you had a bit of a Sochi experience.
Experience?
Yeah.
With regards to the toilets?
Or? Yes.
Okay, yes. So apparently in all of Greece, you're not supposed to flush toilet paper at all.
Yeah, that was the case in the Olympic Village during the Olympics in Sochi. Huh.
Okay, I believe the claim is that Greek plumbing is just not up to snuff. Greece, in my opinion, was as much of a first world country as any have ever been in. And there was no people rioting or anything like that. It was fine.
Yeah, sure.
It's just every toilet in the country in any hotel room we were in said, please do not throw any toilet paper in the toilet. Put it in the trash. And that means any toilet paper, soiled, anything.
Mm.
Which to me, my mom taught me when I was 3 to flush that shit down the toilet, literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
So it's like, this stinks. I'm going to throw it in the garbage, I guess, you know? And yeah, so it's just the cultural norm there. And I have no idea why. In Germany, you can flush everything down the toilet.
Sure. You know, I mean, if I was warned of that ahead of time, that's going to happen, I think I could, like, I'd be all right. But if I was, like, sprung on me as I got there, like, oh, by the way, don't flush your shit.
Don't flush your shit. Yeah.
I'd be like, what?
Yeah, exactly. I did read about it before we got there. And it's like, so, let me think of what else there was. I don't know if you've ever seen this. We stayed in 5 different hotels because we were moving around. But in all of the hotels we were in, our room key had this, like, extra little metal fob on it. And you go in and you enter the room and you stick the metal fob in a slot in the wall. And only when you do that do all of the outlets in the room work.
Really?
So basically the premise is if you're leaving for the day, they don't want you, like, leaving the lights on and wasting electricity. So you take your room key with you and then it cuts the power to the room.
Nice.
Yeah. And I mentioned it to somebody at work today, and they said it's starting to happen around here a little bit, around in the States as well.
Honestly, that sounds like a really good idea, because I think that would just save the business money.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Like, why let you have your lights on during the day or your air conditioning on when you're not there?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, actually.
Yeah, and every single room we were in had that, and it was kind of interesting. Greece really doesn't do shower curtains. It's not a thing. So we're like in one of the hotels, it's in a normal bathroom, no shower curtain at all. So we're just spraying water all over the fucking bathroom. It's like, I guess this is how there's a floor drain in the floor, and I guess this is how you do it. But
that'd be kind of weird, because I feel like when I take a shower, I'm used to, like, being really enclosed.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You feel enclosed, and now you feel naked and exposed to everything, just spraying soap all over the place and everything like that.
You're in Europe. Everyone's naked anyway.
Everyone's naked. Speaking of which.
Oh, yeah? Really?
We did end up. So we were on 2 different Greek islands, and one of them is a lot more known for its beaches than the other one.
Mm.
And one of the beaches is a lot of seclusion as well.
Oh.
So we ended up, like I said, let's go to this beach. And we go down there, and naked people all over the place. And completely naked, and they were, like, average age of 55 to 60, I would say.
Yeah.
So this was not enjoyable naked, but it was, But then the funny thing is, so, you know, it's not Greek people who are naked. It's like tourists. Greece is actually a little bit conservative in that regard. But then we went to Germany. We're in Munich. We're going through the English Garden in Munich, which is like a big open park. Yeah. And there's a little river going through it that's like 10 feet wide. And there's a bunch of people swimming in it. And there's a bunch of naked Germans right there, too, just being naked in the middle of fucking Munich.
Yeah.
And whenever you see naked people in public, it's 95% guys.
Of course.
Of course.
Of course.
And they're just showing it off, and they don't care.
But they don't care.
They don't care. But, I mean, it is the norm in Europe to, for, you know, topless sunbathing. I wouldn't say everybody does it, but you'll see it like 5% of women will be doing it. And it's just like, whatever, and they're doing it. They don't care.
Yeah. And I'm in the camp of like, it's, what's the big deal, you know?
Oh, cool. It's
like nudity and also swear words, which is a whole thing. I wrote a blog about that a long time ago. Like, what's the deal with swear words? But yeah. If you stop and think about it, who really gives a shit?
Yeah, who really gives a fuck? I mean, the reason is because, hey, when all of the colonists came from Europe to here, who were the ones who came? It was the Puritans who were too Puritan to stay in Europe. So they brought their Puritan ideals here, and it's just kind of developed as a culture after that.
Yeah.
So
that makes sense.
Which is kind of funny, but And anyway, so then one issue that we had in restaurants over there, and I don't know if you have any experience with this, but so we show up at the restaurant and we had to eat out every night. We get up, the waiter comes, and I don't know, have you ever been in Greektown in Boston or Chicago or anything like that?
Can't say that I have, but I did eat Greek food last night.
What did you have?
I had shrimp Mykonos.
Mykonos,
yeah. Mykonos. It was awesome.
Oh, awesome. It was a big chunk of feta on top, like a block of feta.
It was shredded over something. There was feta on it. There was feta on everything, but Athens Family Restaurant here in Nashville is amazing. Awesome. But anyway,
keep talking about, every Greek restaurant has a patio outside. And half the country smokes, and so that was another weird thing about Europe. Is just I'm used to, and I'm sure you are now, not going in public and like having to deal with smoke everywhere.
Yeah, smoke for sure. Everywhere. It's weird when I smell it. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, like what the hell is that?
Yeah,
and like I don't hang out with anybody other than your brother that really smokes on a regular basis, and I don't hang out with him when he's smoking typically.
Right,
but it's weird because literally half the country in Greece smokes. Like, that's a statistic. And they don't give – and we were doing a lot of walking in public areas, or we'd be out at the restaurant and everyone's smoking. We rode a ferry. Everyone is smoking. We're in a restaurant and there are no smoking signs in the restaurant. Two different people just pulled cigarettes out and started smoking in the restaurant. I'm like, what the fuck? Did Dick Torres say something? But anyway, so these outdoor terraces all have waiters at them. And the waiter, when they're not waiting at tables, are begging you to come into the restaurant. And, like, stereotype is completely true. They're like, oh, please, Kalispera sauce. Sir, madam, please, here's a seat for you. You know, they're trying to get you to come in. The whole So you get Megan would cave, and we would sit down. And you would always get bread, but you'd have to pay for it. And that's a common thing there. Like, they would bring it, and you are immediately charged for it. But the way restaurants work in the States is you show up, they get everything out to you really quickly. They kind of make you eat really quickly, and they bring you the check sometimes with the meal because they want to turn the table over. In Europe,
especially during lunch.
Oh, yeah, especially. In Europe, it's the opposite. You get the table for the entire evening if you want it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so the thought is you show up, you get an aperitif before dinner, you get your appetizers, you get your mains, and then you get a digestif after like a little shot of schnapps or whatever after dinner. Then they don't bring you the check. That you have to, they basically ignore your table at that point because they assume that you are just going to sit there for another hour and smoke and bullshit. And so it would be like we would eat and then we'd be sitting there waiting for the check to come, and it wouldn't come, and it wouldn't come, and it wouldn't, like, what the hell is going on? We realized after a while we have to ask for it, and we felt really weird asking for it and getting out of there because everyone else is just hanging around and hanging around and hanging around.
Right, but you're used to just going to a restaurant, eating and getting on with your life.
Eating, getting a check, getting the fuck out of there. Exactly. Yeah. So, and they do that a little bit in Germany too, but they're a little bit more punctual about it. In Greece, it'd be literally, all right, here's your dessert. And then we wouldn't see the waiter for 45 more minutes. Like, he wouldn't even walk by.
So, yeah, well.
Yeah, that's interesting. So, yeah, we were on the first island, Santorini, for 4 days. We rented a four-wheeler because they wouldn't let me rent a car. And we ran out of gas on the first day.
No way.
So, I don't know, have you ever ridden a four-wheeler or anything?
I have, yeah. I've been a pet. Like, my wife, the camp they used to have, like, whatever, they had a four-wheeler out there, and she took me on the four-wheeler. But I've never driven one, but I've ridden on them.
Yeah, so we rode around on it, and then like I looked, and looks like there's gas, and I'm not getting any power going up hills, and the engine keeps dying, and so I had to like stop at a bakery and have them call the rental place, and they sent somebody out, and they're like, "Yeah, you're out of gas."
Oh.
Fucking idiot. No, he didn't say that. We felt complete dumbasses though after that.
Oh, I imagine. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I ran out of gas 7 times in my Pontiac that I used to own.
Really?
Yeah, because it would like the gas light was so like touchy. Sometimes like the light would come on and I could make it like a while on it, and then sometimes it would come on and it would run out of gas like a minute, like 5 minutes later.
Really? Gee, 7 times. I've never
7.
This is the first time I ran out of gas in a vehicle in my life.
Yeah, and I never ran out of gas in any other car, but in my Pontiac, 7 fucking times.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you let it get down that low still now with your car now?
Oh, sure. But thinking of my newer car, it's got like a digital display that tells me exactly how many miles I have until it's empty.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's more. Yeah, they do that now.
So like it's like 5 miles to E, and I'm like, do I trust it? No, I'm going to get gas right now.
Do you get stranded anywhere in the other car?
What?
Did you get stranded anywhere when you had that car?
Yeah. I was on 480 before the crossroads coming back from the casino from work. That was a pretty bad one. And somebody I work with happened to drive by and pick me up, but never got stranded too bad.
I got stranded driving to school one day when my serpentine belt broke, I think.
Mm.
And that was on the hill on 480 going up like towards Nagani. By Adam Britlinger's house, and Steve Shire was just driving by, and he pulled over, and he was able to give me a ride to school.
Nice.
But yeah, I had my battery die in the middle of nowhere once, but yeah.
No, remember when your car was like leaking gas?
Oh yeah, yeah. And
I had to follow you back from JT Shaft.
Back from JT Shaft to the crossroads.
To the crossroads. Right.
Yep, I remember that.
Your car was just, I'm behind you and your car is just spewing gas.
Spewing gas. I forget like why, but I remember driving past like Marquette Mountain and seeing the gauge go down and down and down. I'm like, I put a full tank in. Oh man.
Yeah, and it would only spew gas when it was dry when you were driving it.
Oh yeah.
But it wasn't leaking gas when it was sitting there.
Oh, so it was like when I applied pressure when the fuel pump was running or something like that.
Yeah, it was spitting gas out the back. It was ridiculous.
I just remember being so pissed off that I had just put a full tank of gas in that car, and then I made it to the crossroads.
Yeah.
I don't remember you were behind me for that. Huh.
Yeah, I followed you because you knew you weren't going to make it or whatever. Or you thought you weren't going to make it, and so... Like, you were just driving to the crossroads because it was going to get picked up and someone's going to fix it.
Yeah, and then it ended up getting towed to Gwynn and somebody fixed it in Gwynn, I think.
Yeah, but you just wanted to make sure that if it didn't make it to the crossroads that you would be stuck on the side of 553 or whatever.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. And I remember you loaned me your car once. Like, you were at the casino working and I needed... Oh, I forget what it was.
Oh, yeah.
I needed a car, so you, like... Call the casino shuttle and get a ride out to the casino for free, and then you can just borrow my car for the day.
That's right. I remember that now. I forgot all about that.
Yeah, and I think that was your Passat, if I remember correctly.
Very well could have been, yeah.
Yeah. That was, I forget. Were you around when I remember you helped me fix that alternator.
Yes.
In your front yard, basically.
Yes, it took us like 6 hours.
Six hours, the mosquitoes were coming out, and Pard drives by.
Yeah, he's like,
what are you guys doing?
Let's do it. I remember talking to my father-in-law, and you know, I told him what we did, and he was like, oh, I could do that in 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah. My
screw you.
My last truck, the alternator went, and I did it in like half an hour to an hour. I just knew exactly. I knew exactly what to do.
Well, I mean, a lot of it's a learning thing, you know, and I did it before on my Mitsubishi that I had, but, you know, it doesn't make me an expert just because I did it before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean, now I can tell you exactly what we needed to do, but, like, we didn't know which bolts were the right bolts to remove.
Right, exactly. Like, this looks like the right bolt.
Yeah, we didn't have right.
That's not the right bolt.
Yeah. I remember we were real, like, badass thinking, yeah, we're fixing a car. We're such men. And it was just, like, it started to get dark and the mosquitoes were coming out. And like,
yeah, it got real dark on us.
Real dark. Yeah, I think the car died, like, driving to Ishpeming or something. We were going to go to the McDonald's or Congress in Ishpeming.
Yeah, it was you, me, and
Steve Shire,
yeah.
Yep.
Like, we'd all been drinking, but...
Yeah. Was that the day we were going to go to Hiawatha the next day or something? I forget. I remember Steve Shaggart bailed on me. He's like, yeah, I'll give you a ride to Marquette in the morning. And we all slept in your apartment, and I woke up in the morning, and he was gone.
Yeah, I think I remember
that. I don't know. That might have been another occasion. But and then I took the Mark train to Marquette. That was the last time I was on the Mark train. Thank God. To get to Hiawatha. But anyways, how did we get here? So I ran off the gas in the four-wheeler.
Yeah, there it is.
I noticed that in Greece there are no black people. None whatsoever.
Really?
I saw like four, and they were all tourists. But then you go to Germany, and there's like more Africans that are there.
Yeah.
But there's like, I noticed one on the second island we were on. I'm like, holy crap. Not to be a jerk, I'm like, wow, I haven't seen one of those in a while. I'm sure I'm coming off as a complete jerk. But.
No, I haven't seen one since your grandparents bought one.
Wonderful. I noticed a lot of the girls in Europe have gigantic watches. And like,
oh, really?
New trend right now. Remember, you know, like the gigantic sunglasses trend? The one there now is like one that covers your entire wrist and you can use it as a mirror too. It's just so big. And I don't know. Has that come here yet? I haven't really noticed.
Not that I've noticed.
Yeah. And like, I even saw a watch ad. It says the bigger, the better. So that's the trend right now.
Guess so. Yeah.
A lot of people in Europe, kids especially, will get t-shirts with English on them and because they think that's cool.
Yeah.
And I read them and they don't mean anything whatsoever. You know? I did see a Suns Out, Guns Out t-shirt.
Nice.
I don't think it was Bryce Harper, but he might have been in Europe. He's on the
team. Yeah, he's rehabbing right now. He took BP today, so.
Did he?
Yeah. July 1st, baby.
Yep. Is he on your team?
Yeah. I didn't drop him.
I saw a shirt that just said, last in, first out. I'm thinking, what the fuck does that mean? They just saw that on a box or something and wrote it down and put it on a shirt? And
I don't know. That's awesome. I hear about that in Japan a lot.
Yeah, they'll just wear shirts that say English and they don't really know what they mean, but they know. I saw a baseball cap, and there's no baseball in Europe, but a lot of the teenagers will wear it and feel that they're cool, and they only wear the ones that's like gigantic flat brim baseball cap.
Right, it's the fashion.
The fashion. And then all it had on it was a hashtag. It had WTF, OMG, and LOL around the rim of the hat.
All right.
That was awesome. That is it. Europeans in general are more fashionable than Americans, I would say, and it helps that they're all skinnier, too.
Yeah.
But it's just funny to see them demolish English like that. So,
oh, yeah. That'd be amazing.
Yep. Yeah, and what else? Oh, yeah, you go into a store in Europe that has multiple stories in it, like a department store.
Yeah.
There are escalators going up but not going back down.
Weird, why?
I think the thought is they're expensive to run or they're expensive to have installed in the first place, and so they think, okay, we'll help you get upstairs, but you can fucking walk downstairs.
Yeah, it is easier to go downstairs than it is to go upstairs.
Totally. And then one more thing. I saw many people in their 20s with Razor scooters, right?
Really?
Yeah, and like in my opinion, that kind of when you turn 15, you quit doing that.
Well, if you turn 15 in 2001, you stop doing that.
Exactly. Yeah, and at least that's what I remember. And but there, it's like, huh, that guy is 26 and he's riding around on a kick scooter. So,
wow, that's interesting.
Yep. So I don't know. So then. That's about the whole trip. We were on Santorini, Naxos, Athens, Munich, and Erlangen. And we got back on Sunday night at 10:30. And so I'm dogging it right now. Jet lagging in the opposite direction, but it's all okay. I'm back.
Yeah, that's right. You're back. And we're glad to have you back, Caleb, because we missed you terribly. If you listened to last week's episode, you know how much I miss Caleb.
Oh, I appreciate it. And I did, in fact, listen on the ferry.
Yeah.
Our ferry ride, and I'm just sitting there like, fuck it, podcast-rated time. So.
Yeah, and I want to talk about last episode. I want to thank my brother again for coming on because that was very nice of him to do. I know he was looking forward to doing something like that. Bit of the post-production issues see the little inside baseball, little behind the curtain peek at what we do here at Podcast Traded. When we finish recording, Caleb usually does all the post production stuff, all the mixing down and the noise reduction and all that stuff. And he told me how to do it all, but I kind of like didn't do any of it. And so I apologize for last week's episode with the stereo, me in your left ear, my brother in your right ear, because I think as part of it was kind of, you know, that's kind of cool that, you know, I'm getting this audio and stereo sound, you know, like they're right here with me. But the other part is, it's really annoying to only have sound in one ear.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Yes.
It's, so if there's one thing I wish I would have done is mixed it down to a mono track.
Yeah.
That I didn't realize was even happening, because I didn't listen to it. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't really listen to it back before I did it. And a little bit just to make sure that the start and stop times were right. But, yeah, it was pretty rough, and I apologize.
It's all right. I was able to, on my iPhone, there's a way you can turn the audio to mono. So I was able to listen to it mono.
Oh, shit, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's some deep setting that I was able to dig up that's like, all right, play out mono only. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah.
I know that we have one avid listener that said that they definitely didn't listen to last week's episode because they only had one side of the conversation. So.
Oh, really? Huh. Is that their speakers suck or their, huh? I don't know. Or like headphones are going or something. Huh. Interesting.
I think the person sucks.
I think they suck. Fuck that person.
What I liked, my favorite part was after all the technical glitches and like when my computer kept crashing out, is when I threw in the coin toss music from Tecmo Super Bowl.
Yeah, I heard that. I loved that.
I was insanely proud of that, and I hope everyone. I'm just going to mention it now, just so everybody knows how happy I was with that.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a great little segue. All right, we're back.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the trip, and I'm dog tired. We're supposed to go kayaking this weekend. I'm going to a Mallards game with your brother tomorrow, which is the local college age baseball summer league. And yeah, so I jump right back into the fire, basically.
That's right. Back into life.
Shit to do.
Now return to your regularly scheduled life.
Pretty much, yeah. Just unpack and fall right back into it. So
that's right. Hey, Caleb.
Yeah.
Why did the cowboy buy a wiener dog?
Why? Why did the cowboy buy a wiener dog?
To get along, little doggy.
Oh, man. Oh, God. Oh, shit. Why did Gladys Knight convert to Catholicism?
I don't know.
Because she wanted to be Gladys Knight and the Popes. That's terrible.
Oh, my God. I almost laughed.
You almost laughed. Kidding, because there's two popes now? And, no, I'm sorry. Okay, do you want to talk about what you want to talk about, or I talk about what I want to talk about?
What was I going to talk about?
World Cup.
Oh, yeah, this is touching the World Cup. I want to talk about the World Cup. I'm all about the World Cup, and it's fun because every 4 years when the World Cup comes around, it's time to remember how much I like soccer. Mm-hmm. And but it's weird because I really do try on the other years when it's not the World Cup to watch, and I try to pay attention and I try to be a good soccer fan, a good football fan, and I just don't care most of the time. And I try, and but then all of a sudden the World Cup happens, and it's this world happening, and it's got this global significance, and you feel like you have to know what's going on. Even if none of your friends give a shit, you feel like you have to. At least for me, I feel like I have to participate in this, and I get really into it. Like today I watched Brazil and Mexico.
Yeah.
And it was a 0-0 draw, and it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It was super entertaining. I was like, why don't I just watch this game all the time? This is amazing. This is so much fun.
Yeah. But that was your enjoyment of it completely internal, or was it like you're talking to people on Twitter and you're seeing what they're saying about it and you can, you know what I mean? Were there other people that were also into the game that you were associating with?
This particular game today was just me. I was sitting with my kids, and I was just watching the second half, and I was just, like, on the edge of my seat. Like, this is, like, wow, what if Mexico beats Brazil in Brazil? Of course Brazil's going to score, but they haven't. What's going on? This is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and, Yeah, but like yesterday when I was watching whatever game, the Germany Portugal game.
Yeah.
That game I was reading along with Twitter as that happened, and that was fun too, you know. But
yeah, and it steamrolled Portugal. Germany was nuts for the World Cup. The whole, like, everything in all the stores was all World Cup, and every promotion for everything, every billboard was World Cup. You could buy rolls at the bakery that were little soccer balls.
That's adorable.
Yeah, the Weltmeister.
But Germany's very good this year, and they could definitely win if Brazil doesn't.
Yeah,
probably going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, and you know, like, the magazines, there was like, here's how Germany will win the World Cup. They basically feel that it's already in the bag for them.
Yeah, so they're very good. And now they were playing, Portugal was playing a man down yesterday, so that kind of helped for them to steamroll them because somebody got a red card. You know, it's been fun. I'm really into it and I'm digging it. I know that USA beat Ghana yesterday. I didn't watch it. I watched every other game yesterday, and I watched all the games today, but I didn't watch the USA game yesterday because we went to dinner.
The only game I've watched so far is I watched the last 10 minutes of the USA game. So I saw some highlights on the plane on the way back. They had little video things of it, but of other games.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's interesting. It makes me think of curling. You know, curling happens every 4 years. There's curling all the time, but it's every 4 years in the Olympics.
Yeah.
And it feels like every American gets into it.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
it's the one little game that people can put in their pocket and be like, this is the cool game I like.
Yeah, this is the cool game I like, and everyone follows it, and then we all kind of go on with our lives after that.
Yeah, like in the Summer Olympics, it's like team handball.
Yeah, team handball, exactly. Field hockey.
Yeah, like Iceland's team handball team is super good. Mm-hmm. And like that's both things right there, like a team from Iceland that's good at something and handball. Everything's weird, and that's awesome.
Weird or not. I don't know, the thing with your not being able to follow soccer, not during the World Cup. We do have an MLS league, that there's not a lot of fandom for it. And
well, yeah, it's regional, you know. If you live in
Seattle, that's MLS country right there. They pull 40,000 a game down up there.
Yeah, don't tell that to Tom Featherstone.
Yeah, you hating on soccer?
Yeah, apparently. I said, you ever go to a Sounders game? He's like, no, I'm not interested. It's like, what?
That shit.
Yeah, basically. And I was like, really? Just, I'd be, even if I wasn't, like, as much as I'm into soccer as I am, which is casually paying attention, I would definitely go.
I would go for the experience, you know. Yeah. Talk about like Seattle and Portland, the biggest rivalry in MLS, and how crazy it is. And I went to a Chicago Fire game this summer. It was like Chicago and Montreal, I want to say, and it was actually pretty interesting.
Yeah,
and I don't know if you know the European soccer game. There are people singing the whole time, and you have the supporter section, and they have the gigantic flags and stuff like that, and scarves. They were doing that the whole game.
Awesome.
And there was a guy like in the on a ladder in front of the crowd, like leading all of the cheers, and he would tag team with another guy because they would be so excited trying to lead the cheers, they would wear out.
Yeah.
And they'd have to switch, and it was actually pretty interesting.
That's cool. I mean, yeah, I remember when the MLS launched.
Yeah.
Back in like 95 or 96 or whatever it was. And I used to subscribe as a kid to Sports Illustrated for kids. Mm-hmm. And there was a big thing in there about the new MLS that's coming out and all the teams. And like one of the teams was the Chicago Fire. Mm-hmm. And one of the teams was like the Columbus Crew. And I don't think any of the other teams that were like the debut teams are still
around anymore.
Still around, except for those two.
Yeah, I think that's why a lot of these leagues don't have as much fandom, as the teams are changing and, you know, fold dissolving, and you have dispersal drafts. And you got, yeah, exactly.
And every league in American sports has gone through that. Mm-hmm. You know, at the beginning, you get your growing pains. You know, like the original, like, they didn't settle on the quote unquote original six in the NHL until like 20 years after the NHL started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's really not the original six. And so anyone who calls the original six the original six can go fuck themselves.
So that's your problem with the original six. My problem is it really inherently better to be part of the original six? Or is this an original six matchup? Or, who cares? Like, I just kind of feel like it's a marketing thing that Okay, it really is. The Red Wings better than the Tampa Bay Lightning because they're part of the original six? I'm sorry, no. Like, no. Let's not cut Tampa Bay any slack because of the, or the other way around. Let's not cut Detroit slack. Are they up on a lofty pedestal and a better team as a result? No.
No. No.
Because, no. Yeah, exactly.
I do hold a weird esteem for, like, the original 16 MLB teams, though.
Huh. I don't at all.
It's just weird because I get kind of fuzzy when, like, the Dodgers are playing the Reds. And I'm like, oh, it's the Dodgers and Reds. Like, just like 115 years ago.
Exactly. You know? The Reds are the oldest team in the league, aren't they?
Well, the longest continuing operating franchise in baseball is the Atlanta Braves.
Are you really? Interesting.
You can trace it back. The original Cincinnati Red Stockings eventually moved to Boston and eventually became the Braves.
The Boston Braves, which then eventually went to
Milwaukee.
Milwaukee, yes.
And they were the first team to move, by the way. Oh. And then on to Atlanta in 66. But yes.
And then Milwaukee still pined for a team, and the Seattle Pilots ended up moving over.
Right, and then Seattle still pined for a team, so they got the Mariners.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how most baseball teams came to exist, by the way, is they lost their team. Like, Kansas City got the A's, mm-hmm. and they lost them to Oakland, and so then they got the Royals.
Yeah, and they got the Royals, yep. And Philadelphia had the A's before that, didn't they?
Yes, they did, for 50-some-odd years.
Yeah, a lot of teams just kind of moved west, and then you get more teams showing up. So, but, I mean, like, I hold Tampa Bay in the same regard as I hold the Red Sox. It's just they're both MLB teams. They're both at the top level of the sport. I mean, Tampa yeah. sucks this year, but yeah, I don't know what it. I for me with soccer, I feel that you know you can have your internal desire to actually like the game, but a lot of let me put it this way: American football. I don't like it as a sport that much, but it's. Hanging around with people to watch it and the social aspect of it helps me watch the game and makes sure. me enjoy it more. Mm. And I feel for a lot of people, soccer might be that way. Hey, I get to watch it with other Americans. I can cheer for the U.S. team.
Yeah.
But then afterward, what am I going to do? I guess MLS, or I can cheer for Manchester United or something like that. I'd pick a British team to root for.
Right.
But there's just not that infrastructure, not the social infrastructure to get people into it as much if they don't have an internal desire to watch it. So.
Right. And even if it were, mm-hmm. I feel like it'd be like five or six down the ladder of potentially being
mm-hmm.
it's behind hockey. Like hockey could potentially be, socially like game. I don't know yeah. the words. English.
A social game. Yeah. You're going to have the social aspect to the fandom of the game.
Yeah. And some people have a way with words and others have not way. And that's what I just did. It's got a long way to go
mm-hmm.
to yeah. really catch on. But every 4 years we get cool about the World Cup and I dig it the most. And I'm really happy to have ESPN3 here in my house.
Yep, exactly. That's what I did the other day.
Oh. Yeah. And so I get to watch all the games.
Yeah.
Until whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. But, in conclusion, I think there's only so much of a mind share of sports for Americans.
Yeah.
And a lot of that's filled up by baseball, football, hockey, and basketball, and NASCAR to some degree. It's like the number five.
Yeah.
Well, nothing's around right now except NASCAR and baseball. Hockey's over, basketball's over, no football. World Cup every 4 years, that kind of makes it more like the Olympics, you know?
Yep.
Everyone gets all excited about rhythmic gymnastics for a few weeks.
You're exactly right. That's exactly right.
Trampoline. So, yeah, I'll probably watch some of the games. What I've seen so far, that Ghana goal that they scored against the U.S. was just beautiful, how he set it up. And, you know, as beautiful as a nice pass to a receiver on a post route or, you know, home run in the seats. So,
yep.
Or wonderful defensive play out of the hole by a shortstop. So, I'll probably pick some of them up once my schedule settles back out and we're done doing laundry. So,
yeah. Good God, I imagine.
Yeah. So I was on the trip and I got thinking about the movie Austin Powers, the entire franchise.
Oh, my God.
And I was thinking, man, I really loved the crap out of all three of those movies, but they haven't really held up. And I don't mean held up any. They look dated. I just... We don't really think about them very much anymore.
Yeah.
Like, on and over, we don't ever go back to them.
Yeah, you know, I think part of it was because I think people got a little bit tired of Mike Myers.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like when he did things like The Love Guru.
Yeah, Love Guru after that, yes.
And then you kind of think, oh, that's all he's got, isn't it? And then you kind of look back on the same rehashed jokes for three movies in a row, and you kind of said, well, this isn't that creative, was it? This was just sort of do the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
But regardless of whether it's been repeated, it's still hilarious.
Oh, I thought they were like the optimal humor at the time. They were at the top of their game. And they hit the zeitgeist perfectly. They're making fun of the 60s, but they just hit all the cylinders at the same time.
Yep.
And,
for sure.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking, like, what about other comedies from the 90s? Have they held up? And so I got a list of them here that we can go over. I looked up the top grossing comedies from the 90s, and I have about 15 of them here.
Okay.
So you have to tell me whether you think these held up at all.
Okay.
All
right,
all
right.
All right, we got Home Alone and Home Alone 2, Escape to New York, whatever it is.
I would say held up.
I would say only Home Alone as a Christmas movie.
Yes, as a Christmas movie and as like a nostalgia thing, because you watched it when you were a kid.
Yeah.
But not as much as, I don't know, it's slapstick, which I think always works.
Yeah, I think people watch Home Alone the same reason they might watch A Christmas Story. For the nostalgia, I watched National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation this past December.
Right.
Because I wanted to relive Clark Griswold setting his house on fire.
So, yep.
Okay. And then Mrs. Doubtfire. Is that held up?
Probably.
I thought it kind of did for a little bit, but people don't really talk much about it. I heard they're making a sequel to it, though.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah.
I think in a way, it probably hasn't, because, yeah, you mentioned it doesn't really come up that often, but I mean, dealt with like a serious issue of like divorce and like separation, and but while trying to be funny.
Yeah, it was really groundbreaking when it came out, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and you know, Robin Williams was, you know, pretty much respected as one of the best, you know, comedians, still is, I think, it's certain.
Yeah,
but
do you think it held up more than Patch Adams, the other movie he did in the 50s?
Probably. I think Patch Adams was even... I never seen Patch Adams.
I think Patch Adams is a little bit more saccharine, like kind of fake sweetness, kind of overly sweet.
Yes, as far as...
Hey, it's a clown doctor. All the kids with cancer are happy now because he's a clown. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Tug the heartstrings.
I think the... One of the highest grossing ones in the 90s was There's Something About Mary.
Mm.
That came out in the late 90s, and I remember that was also hilarious, and nobody ever fucking talks about it anymore.
Yeah, that movie was really funny.
Yeah.
That's another thing, like, with along the same lines what were we just talking about?
Home Alone, Mrs. Doubtfire, Austin Powers.
Along the same line of Mike Myers.
Yeah.
Is
that was like the
Ben peak. Stiller.
Yeah, that was the peak for Ben Stiller right there.
Yeah,
About Mary.
And I think Ben Stiller made a couple of movies that maybe weren't as good as some of the ones he made before, and so it kind of tarnished the legacy. But regardless of that, There's Something About Mary is hilarious.
Yeah, well, I would agree with that. I think what was the one I'm thinking of? Well, let me see. Oh yeah. I think the 90s, when it comes to comedy, we had the peaks of two different actors, and you can disagree with me if you want. Adam Sandler and who's the guy in Ace Ventura?
Jim Carrey.
Yeah. Mm. For me, Ace Ventura held up. I watched it recently.
Ace Ventura is awesome.
Yeah, and he was Dumb and Dumber after that.
Yep. Well, there was The Mask.
The Mask, which I remember. That was kind of more of a kid's movie, but it was a pretty good comedy. And the Cable Guy, was he in that?
Cable Guy was the fourth one. I used to have this memorized, like, yep. Jim Carrey's movie release order. And then I'd lose it after a while, but...
Yep. Yeah, and I remember, I never saw the Cable Guy, but I'm thinking about Adam Sandler, his big 90s movies, Happy Gilmore, and The Wedding Singer, I would say. And I think other people would say Waterboy, which I never saw. And did Little Nicky come out? I forget.
Yeah, I believe Little Nicky came out in like 99-ish.
Yeah, or something like that.
There's Billy Madison.
Yeah, oh yeah, Billy Madison. Yep, forgot about that one.
Which for me is my favorite Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah.
Because it's so absurd. But there's Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore. Those are the two, like, the big ones. And then everything else is debatable whether it's good or not.
Uh-huh.
I always thought Big Daddy was funny.
Huh. That's interesting.
But I think that's where a lot of people thought that the career
started to fall off a little bit.
Yeah, when it started going downhill. I thought that was still pretty good, though.
I mean, I watched Click a couple of years ago when it came out, and that was just terrible.
Horrible. I saw it in the theater.
And then he had that... Was there a movie he dressed up as a woman or a sister or something like that recently?
Yes, that was Jack and Jill.
Jack and Jill, yes.
Didn't see it.
I did not either. So
he did a movie with Jonah Hill, maybe? I forget.
He did a movie with Jonah Hill? I gotta look.
Yes. It was Funny People, is that the movie?
Oh yeah, I think you're right, yes.
Where he's got cancer or somebody's got cancer or something.
Isn't that 50-50?
Oh, that's 50-50, yeah. I'm thinking of Funny... I forget what Funny People is about, but I saw that and it was okay.
Okay, so, and then a couple more we can rip through real quick. The Big Lebowski and Office Space, those are definitely cult movies that are going to hold up because of their cultness.
Absolutely.
Some people say that about Dogma, too, which came out in the 90s.
I've only seen half of Dogma on the CBC back in, like, 2003.
The CBC.
It was unedited, and I couldn't believe they were broadcasting what they were broadcasting.
Wow, amazing. And then there are a couple more. Runaway Bride, apparently, was a big romantic comedy out of the 90s. You've got Mail, which I think some people still like.
Mm-hmm.
And The Santa Claus, Dr. Doolittle, Rush, the whole Rush Hour franchise.
Oh, my God, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I think people like that, but that's more of a, you know, two cops from two different worlds, the Asian guy and everything like that.
Yeah, that's like the only movie playing in a theater so everybody goes and sees it.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of which, you know that GKC closed in Marquette?
Yeah, I heard they just opened a new theater like behind the Westwood Mall and then GKC closed.
GKC like immediately closed right after. Like, we can't compete. We're done.
No.
Everyone's fired. Yep.
So, the Delft closed a couple years ago, too.
Well, the Delft got bought by GKC, and they were just showing, like, art house movies there or something, which I went to a bunch of those. I think that was really, like, they would just have indie movies there, and that was a really comfortable theater. I liked going to the Delft.
I personally love the Delft.
All the way out to Econo to go to see a movie.
Yeah, screw that shit.
Fuck that. So, I mean, I'm looking at another list. Basketball. Groundhog's Day actually came out in the 90s.
Yes, it did. I saw that in the theater when I was, like, you know, 9 years old or whatever.
Yeah.
Groundhog Day is still a very, very good movie. That holds up.
I agree with that. I completely... It's such a novel idea.
Mm-hmm.
Clerks, of course. I mean, duh. Yeah.
That's my favorite movie of all time.
That movie holds
up. Like second favorite movie of all time.
Beavis and Butthead Do America, Kingpin, Black Sheep, Naked Gun 33 and a Third, Made Japan, Liar Liar. I mean, these are all just kind of shit comedies out of the 90s. Orgasmo. So
never saw it. No, but there was that run of Chris Farley and David Spade movies too, with the
Tommy Boy and Beverly
Black Sheep.
And Black Sheep, yeah. I think, man, I don't think I've ever seen any of those, but I hear people say wonderful things about
Chris. Tommy Boy's great.
So those are a bunch of 90s movies, and you can think of a general idea of whether any of them have held up. I think the cult ones have held up, definitely.
Yes.
Of their cult. But, you know, I don't... When I'm looking at 2000 comedies, ones that came out in the 2000s, Borat, Dodgeball, Tropic Thunder, the first Hangover movie, and I mean from 2001 to 2010, Wedding Crashers, The 40-Year-Old Virgin, a lot of these feel like a lot more recent. And well, they are a lot more recent. They feel
that way.
Yeah, they feel like they've held up better, or like they're better quality. I think any of those Judd Apatow movies, 40-Year-Old Virgin, Superbad, those are great.
Mm-hmm.
And they still are.
Totally agree. Yeah, 40-Year-Old Virgin is one of the... I don't remember a movie that I saw and laughed and remembered, you know, as much as I did as when I watched the 40-Year-Old Virgin the first time.
Yeah, that to me took comedy to a new level.
Yes.
We all know somebody who's like that.
Yeah. It was so good, and everybody in it was so good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and Superbad, which to me was, all right, two teenage boys going around trying to get laid. We've all been there.
Yeah, man.
Exactly. And, like, the Jonah Hill with Michael Cera, just great, this overbearing fat guy, and the understated Canadian of Michael Cera. He can play one guy, and he can play him really well.
Yep.
You know, see, he played the same guy in Juno. So.
Did you ever see This is the End?
No, I never have.
You really need to watch This is the End.
What, is Michael Cera in that?
Yes. It's everyone like all those actors like Jonah Hill and everybody playing themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like the end of like the apocalypse happens.
Oh, really?
They're at James Franco's house for a party.
This sounds amazing. Okay.
It is so good.
Yeah.
Oh, I laughed so hard. I loved it. It was that was one of the funniest movies that I've seen in the last couple of years for sure.
Interesting. Okay, well, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, for sure.
The 2000s also had, like, Will Ferrell movies, Jack Black movies, you know, tops of their line. So, I don't know. To me, oh, and I forgot American Pie. That came out in the 90s, too.
Holy shit, yeah.
Yeah, and they're still fucking making those movies,
too. The first American Pie had a pretty good impact on me, though. That was sort of, it was based around the age that I was.
Oh, totally. You know? Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So.
Oh, I can agree with that. And, I saw American Wedding like 2 years ago, and that's the first one where all of the characters got back together, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, we're all older. We're all getting married. It just, I didn't think it was worth making or seeing.
Yeah, this was at American Reunion.
American Reunion, yes.
I think in 2009 or 2010 or something like that.
Yep.
That actually is the only movie that I can say that I like streamed illegally. Because I found somebody told me about this website that they knew about that was like just movie streaming that you shouldn't, like, it's illegal. Totally, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I went there and I was looking through the list of movies, and a lot of them didn't seem any interest to me except for American Reunion, which I would never watch, but I had 2 hours and it was there, so I just watched it, and it wasn't very funny.
I feel like the American Pie franchise, the movies are being made because the actors who are in it can't find any other work. I hate to say that, but like Jason Biggs, Tara Reid, Sean William Scott, Mina Suvari, they're not, Eugene Levy, they're not getting any other work. Oh, with the exception of Allison Hannigan, who's in, well, How I Met Your Mother, was she in? Yeah.
Yes.
Which is done now, but.
I'll tell you this now. Jason Biggs.
Yeah.
Orange is the New Black.
He's in that?
Yeah. Huh. I just finished. I did what you could never do, as you say, as I sort of binge watched Orange is the New Black season 2. I didn't really. I sort of did. I did it over like 2 weekends where I watched like 6 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched like 1 episode here, then 1 episode there, then I watched all the rest. And it was like 13.
Huh. Yeah. You know,
great.
I went to a psychologist today, and I'm like, I can't binge watch. So I didn't use that exact term, but I said I can't make myself relax, and so he suggested things like that.
Well, you should binge watch some Orange is the New Black, because it's pretty good.
I need to finish binge watching Breaking Bad.
Oh, actually, that's way more important. You should really do that.
Yeah, so that... I feel that the movies from the 2000s hold up at least better to our era, but that's maybe just because they're more recent than the ones from the 90s.
Yeah, for sure. I bet you if you talk to somebody who's 40, they may have a different perspective.
Yeah, exactly. They might. So, all right. Well, that's all I got to chit-chat about. We've been going for an hour.
Holy shit, have we?
Yeah.
It was a struggle to get through 40 minutes with my brother.
Really? You guys need to talk about wrestling. Just have a wrestling show. We'll all be okay with it. I mentioned that to him. I said, you guys should really do a weekly roundup of discussing, you know, an M versus W, America versus Machine C style. Hey, what happened on Raw this week? Hey, what happened in WrestleMania? Because you can watch that now with the WWE Network, right?
This is true. Not necessarily Raw. I still don't have cable, and it's not on the network. So in order for me to watch Raw, I have to stream it illegally. And with the current, I haven't watched Raw in many weeks. I think I watched it. I tried to watch it last week when my wife wasn't here. And I ended up just watching hockey.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Old Stanley Cup, you know.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, congratulations, Los Angeles Kings. You missed that when you were gone.
I remember hearing about it, and I thought, was when Wayne Gretzky was with them the last time they won? I don't know.
No, they won 2 years ago.
Oh, they won 2 years ago? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no fucking clue.
Gretzky never won one with the Kings.
I remember being at a bar last winter with your brother and another guy, and I'm like, how far did the Blackhawks go in the playoffs this year? And the guy's like, they won the cup, and I'm like, fuck. That's how far out of the loop I am with that. So,
yeah. Caleb, do you know what a French microphone is?
I do not. What is a French microphone?
A French microphone is when someone's sleeping with their mouth open and you fart in their mouth, causing an echo.
What? Well, thank you.
You can find us at Podcastrated on Twitter. That's with two D's. And you can also email us at podcastrated@yahoo.com. We're on Facebook. Just look for Podcastrated. We're on Google Plus for all four of you that use it. Mm-hmm. And you can follow my personal account at Brad Perella. You can follow Caleb at Caleb York.
Yes. And this is a Tuesday night that we're recording, but we'll be doing our normal next episode on. It'll be July 2nd, I believe. And I will have turned fucking 30.
Oh, my God.
Meantime. So 30 shots.
That's like 30 shots. 30 is a tough one.
How was it? I mean, I've been feeling unusual about it.
Yeah, 30 is weird because all of a sudden you're in your 30s.
I got to start drinking wine, I guess.
Yes, sure.
I don't know. I feel like, is there anything I should get out of the way in my 20s? Like crash a car or I don't know. What do people in their 20s do? Being college chicks. Go to a rave.
No, I don't know, man.
Yep.
Do what I did in your 20s. Have kids.
Have kids? Yeah. I'm kind of running out of time for that. Megan, how quickly can you gestate?
No. Yeah. Come on.
Come on. Let's hop to it. See you in bed. Okay. Okay. So, yeah, you can follow us everywhere, and we'll have a normal episode next time. And yeah. We're going to have to start interviewing people. We've been discussing that for a while.
No, this is actually kind of happening. I've got to tell you something, yeah. I guess. Okay. But we're going to end the show right there. I want to thank you for downloading this, son of a bitch. And we'll catch you next time from Nashville, where it's humid as all hell. Okay. I'm Brad.
And from Madison, Wisconsin, where the mosquitoes are back out in force, I'm Caleb.
Have a good night, everybody.
See you later.
Or morning.
Yeah,
either way. Or afternoon or whatever.
Whichever continent you're on. Bye-bye.
CDs.
Yeah, right around, exactly. So people look at you when you ride by. It's like a Harley. Fuck them.
That's the way I feel about Harleys. The way I feel.
In this state, you can't really say anything bad about Harley because they're from here. It's like, your Harley's fucking loud, you need a muffler. And you get run over.
So, yes.
Motorcycles are everywhere, and you got to hear, you can't see them, so you're going to hear them. Fuck you.
You know what's nice? My neighbor has a motorcycle, and it's a quiet one.
Oh, good.
Just goes like as he drives away, and I'm like, thank you for not being an asshole.
Being a gigantic douchebag. Yeah. Hey, everyone, I'm riding a motorcycle. Everybody, just so you know. Yeah.
Yeah.